coaches. Blow the whistle, ay. Blow the whistle, ay. Blow the whistle, they can't hold a flame against you, ay. Blow the whistle, ay. Blow the whistle, ay. Blow the whistle, got the game, it ain't no issue, yeah. Blowing the whistle, I had enough with you, the championship, it is gone. Ain't listen to you, I can't give it to you, cause you don't know what I've been on. This is the Coaches Podcast, ripping up everything off that.
Alrighty, I believe we are live. First Fantasy Coaches Dynasty Podcast. I am Brandon. I'm the host for the day. We've also got Dylan and Charlie with us. Why don't y'all two introduce yourselves a little bit?
What's up, guys? I'm Dylan. Glad to be here. Excited to get this going. So,
I'm Charlie. Also a pleasure to be here. Just excited to share some of the info and content we have for you guys.
Absolutely. All three of us are writers for the Coaches. I believe we all have some stuff on the site right now, so go ahead and check that out. With that being said, let's get into some news about what happened around the NFL today. And we'll start with something that just broke right before we went live, and it's Austin Eckler missed practice today due to a hamstring injury. Dylan, what do you think? What do you think the repercussions of that are going to be this weekend?
It's going to be good for Justin Jackson. He's probably going to get some more playing time than originally thought of. Not good for the Chargers, I don't think, though. Austin Eckler is a big part of their team, so if he's going to go down early. A lot of people drafted him in the first round also, so.
If Eckler's out week one, we're going to see Justin Jackson jump into at least flex territory potentially. Mm-hmm. I say maybe low end RB2, but that's as high as I would go.
Yeah.
Yep. Absolutely. And you know, they've got a tough matchup this weekend with I believe it's Washington.
Yeah, Washington.
So I mean, you're talking about it.
So
yeah, defense is gonna be even better than it was last year. Oh, and they're healthy.
Their front seven's crazy.
Yeah, so they may be somebody, if you have anybody in the lineup there, I'd start to question whether or not you want to be starting them this week.
Yeah.
Let's move on to A.J. Brown that also did not practice today, but apparently it was just like sort of a rest day for his knee, which we all know last year he had all kinds of stuff wrong with both of his knees and still played every game. Are y'all worried about him at all?
No, I think that's more of just a precautionary thing, trying to keep him healthy and ready for the season.
Something to keep an eye on, though, because if he does have any lingering effects, might not be bad to nudge Julio Jones up your board a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Let's talk. Lev Bell signs with Baltimore. They did move Cannon up to their 53-man roster today, and it wasn't Lev Bell. Do you think that he gets dropped back down to the practice squad and Bell moves up eventually?
I wouldn't have to think so. I think, especially in this case, for a team that's looking to make the playoffs, you want experience, and that's what Lev Bell provides. Haven't been there before, obviously, with Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I think that it's all going to depend on what kind of shape I think Lev Bell's in. I mean, he may just be sitting on practice squad for a couple of weeks until he can get into football shape, and then once he's there, they'll move him up.
So. Yeah, absolutely. I don't think you sign somebody like Lev Bell, even with him being, you know, almost 30 years old and considered washed. I don't think you sign him without having the intent to play him at some point in the season. So
yeah,
it's just only a matter of time until he moves up to the 53.
Yeah, even last year with Kansas City, he wasn't nothing. So
that being said, this is still Gus Edwards' backfield.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
Carries, and I think we'll see Tyson Williams probably get his share as well.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Next in line.
All right. Now, New Orleans released Latavius Murray. That's something I did not see coming this year. Reportedly, they wanted him to take a pay cut. He just didn't want to, which, I mean, hey, it's your money. Do what you want. So, Tony Jones, he's clearly the big winner here. Do y'all think he gets the same kind of market share in the backfield as Latavius Murray did last year?
He's going to have to earn it, I think.
Yeah.
Latavius Murray has the history behind
him. They're not going to hand it to him.
Yeah.
Yep.
If he goes out there and balls out, then, yeah, I think he can, but still out with the Bears.
Kamara could be even better this year.
Yeah.
Got to prove it back up
a load at this point.
Yeah.
Yeah, we could see Kamara get a full workload like he's never had before, which would be ridiculous.
We're talking to end up being consensus RB1 after the season's over.
Oh, yeah.
Whenever Damon got named
starter, I mean, his stock went up even higher than what it was. So now it's just skyrocketing.
Yep. All right, let's move into week one of the college football season. We had some very interesting games. We saw Georgia beat Clemson. We saw Ohio State struggle with Minnesota there for a little bit. Who were some players that y'all saw and were interested this, or well, that impressed y'all the most this weekend? Let's go Dylan first.
All right. Mine was SMU's quarterback, Tanner Mordecai, 24 of 30 for 317 passing yards and 7 passing touchdowns. He actually broke the school record for most passing touchdowns in the game. He looked good. If he's going to put up these kind of stats, I mean, it's early, but those are Heisman stats right there for sure.
Absolutely.
And then also Utah's tight end, Dalton Kincaid. 4 receptions, 75 yards, and 2 TDs. Again, impressed. The big-time red zone threat there. So he could be somebody that's on the radar. Both these guys are juniors, so they should be in the 2022 class next year. So,
yep.
As for me, senior out of Coastal Carolina, receiver Javon Haley. He had 6 grabs for 133 yards. He reached the end zone. And PFF actually had him as their offensive player of the week. They gave him a grade of 94.6. Broke 5 tackles. He had multiple catches of over 15 yards. He's someone to just keep an eye on. I think his stock is only going to continue to go up. And obviously, since he's an upperclassman as a senior, we would most likely see him in the draft if he continues to play at a high level. And someone else I had my eye on this past weekend was Tank Bigsby out of Auburn. He had a really good week, 13 carries, 119 yards, 2 touchdowns. And he's as a sophomore, so he won't likely be declaring for the draft. I don't think he can. But he's just someone, again, if he has a really good year, he's someone that's only going to get better in the next couple of years if he sticks at Auburn.
Yep, absolutely. And Bigsby he's 2023 eligible, but he's considered the top back along with I'm having a brain fart. What was his name?
Trying to remember.
I know Jahmyr Gibbs and there's
Kenny Walker out of Michigan State.
No.
Robinson out of Texas.
Yep. Those two are considered the top dogs, and there's 3 in the 23 class. That's like this. The big 3 is Jahmyr Gibbs, Tank Bigsby, and Robinson. And by that, the time that class rolls around, we could see 4 or 5 running backs going like pretty high. That 23 class is absolutely stacked.
Yeah, it could be just like last year's.
Yeah. Then the running backs could be way better than what last year's were.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, the running backs are absolutely insane, and the quarterbacks can be as well. You got Bryce Young, DJU, this kid. One of my guys that I was really impressed with this weekend was Michael Pratt, the quarterback out of Tulane. He's a guy that I've been getting in C2C drafts. This past offseason, he had an insane freshman year. And against Oklahoma, and I get his Big 12 defense, but he had 296 yards, three touchdowns, and he carried the ball 15 times, only 34 yards, but he also scored a rushing touchdown, which if you're getting that at your quarterback, that's big time. And he really, his stock is just going to continue to go up. And he's a 2023 guy as well. Just keep your ear out for his name. He could seriously make a push to be a top quarterback in that class. And then you've got Chris Olave this weekend against Minnesota. And the first half, that Ohio State team looked like they were going to get beat by Minnesota. C.J. Stroud was all over the place. I don't know if it was first game jitters or what it was. But he was overthrowing guys left and right. He was just – he was trying to push the offense along, and he just – it wasn't working out for him. But once he settled down, it was – that offense was going. And Olave had four catches for 117 yards and two touchdowns. For the 2022 class, he's probably the number one guy so far. He could have like a Devonta Smith type rise, and he's somebody to keep an eye on when you're trading for those 2022 picks, which is considered a weaker class. But if you're getting at the top part of that draft class, there could be some studs up there.
Yeah.
All right. Let's see. Anybody else on the college side impress y'all at all?
He didn't have like an outstanding game by any means, but Malik Willis from Liberty. He's someone that guys like us kind of want to keep an eye on, especially for fantasy, because he has true dual threat capabilities. This past week, I know he reached end zone passing as well as rushing. Didn't light up the world. The completion percentage wasn't great, but if he can put it all together, he could be one of the top QBs selected in this coming draft.
Absolutely.
I would just say Michigan State's running back, Kenny Walker, 23 carries for 264 yards and four touchdowns, and then UCLA's running back, Zach Charbonnet, six carries, 106 yards, and three touchdowns. I get the carries right there, but
then that Charbonnet, that's insane.
Yeah.
Like, what happens to guys when they leave Michigan is just ridiculous.
Yeah.
It's almost like trying to get out of our Harbaugh's kind of like the college version of Adam Gase at this point.
Yeah.
it's ridiculous. Let's move on to some NFL stuff. And who are some players that y'all are looking at this weekend that y'all want to just keep your eye on and see what kind of workload they get or anything like that? See if they are making the push to become a fantasy relevant player.
I think my number one will be Mecole Hardman. See if he gets any type of the work that he was getting in the preseason. And then it's going to go down with Hill on the field, but everybody's saying he's number two there behind Hill, so time to prove it.
Yeah.
I want to see what the Buccaneers tomorrow night do with their backfield, because they have three different guys that could easily see snaps. I've always been a big believer in Ronald Jones ever since he stepped onto the field. I think it should be his backfield to lose. I remember watching one of his games last year. I forget who it was against, but he ripped off like a 98-yard touchdown, breaking several tackles along the way. And I'm thinking to myself, this could be the guy. He could be maybe not at least a three-down back, but someone who receives the lion's share of the carries. But Bruce Arians seems intent on making sure that, well, Leonard Fournette gets his share. And then they also signed Gio Bernard, who they see as their third down back. So the opportunities are going to be limited, but seeing the snap count for week one is going to be a big tell.
Yeah, Brady likes those pass catching running backs too. So
I don't know. And Rojo, I think he's the most talented guy in that backfield by far. I just wish that Arians would just give him the job. I mean, you can tell, you can just watch the game and be like, Rojo's the best running back in that backfield.
Mm-hmm. Arians also has a quick hook. if he sees a small mistake made by a player. Because there were a couple times where Jones would drop a pass from Brady out of the backfield, then the next play you see Fournette out there. So Arians didn't really have the patience or the time to kind of let him work through that. So I'm hoping that's something he worked on in the offseason, his pass catching, if he wants to supplant Bernard and get some third down opportunities, because he certainly should have.
Yep. And I'm keeping an eye on Jalen Reagor this weekend. I know I've got the Eagles jersey in the background. I'm an Eagles fan. I really want to see what he does week one and how Nick Sirianni uses him. There was talk in the offseason about him moving to the slot wide receiver role, but then you had Quez Watkins step up and apparently has been one of the best wide receivers in camp. So now he's starting in the slot, which still puts Reagor on the outside. I expect Sirianni to get the ball in Rager's hands in different kind of ways. More like a how the Chiefs use Tyreek Hill his rookie season, and just like little gadgets play, just get it in his hands and see what he can do with it. I'm not saying he's going to be anywhere like Tyreek Hill, but I think best case scenario for Reagor this season is a high-end wide receiver 3. I just want to see how Sirianni's going to use him week one, really.
For me as a Giants fan, someone I'm looking at is Sterling Shepard. The Giants have this preseason had a lot of injuries in their receiving core. Kenny Galladay has been dealing with his hamstring. Kadarius Toney has barely seen the field because he had COVID, and then I think he had a foot injury. And Evan Engram's going to be out for who knows how long. He's very likely not going to be playing week one. Sterling Shepard's been the healthiest receiver on the field for the Giants. He and Daniel Jones have a good working relationship on the field. Shepard also plays out of the slot. And in week one, it's a tough Denver secondary. Galladay and Barkley are going, since Barkley is likely going to play, he's been practicing. Barkley and Galladay are going to see a lot of the attention from that talented Denver secondary. And Shepard working out of the slot, I think, is going to see a lot of targets from Jones and could potentially reach the end zone. So he's just someone to keep an eye on. I think he could have his best year's approach date.
Yeah, I agree with that until Kadarius Toney comes around.
That is going to be Kadarius Toney's job, who actually is going to play week one. But they're kind of throw him around. I think they might incorporate some Wildcat stuff, but it is Jason Garrett, so I'm not holding out too much hope on that.
Yeah.
There's a report out from the Giants wire, Dan Benton, today saying that he could have a significant role in week one. So
I'd be happy to see that.
Yeah, I want
to see what this kid can put together on the field for us. So I'm excited.
Yeah.
One more situation I'm looking forward to seeing is how the touches are distributed between Sonny Michel and Daryl Henderson. See who takes over that backfield.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I want to talk about Sonny Michel later, but that's going to be very interesting to see what happens there.
Yeah.
All right, Charlie, you got another guy?
Let me think. I got someone, but I was going to talk about him later in a different segment.
Gotcha. Here's another wide receiver I want to watch and take a look at for this weekend is Michael Pittman Jr. One of my favorite wide receivers. Absolutely loved him last year. T.Y. Hilton's on the injury reserve, so he's out at least 3 weeks. There's not really too many other options. Maybe Paris Campbell could see a little bit more, work. And Nyheim Hines, he's probably going to be usable as a flex this week. But Pittman, he's their number one receiver this weekend. And with Wentz playing, well, possibly playing, it's looking like he's going to. Mm-hmm. Pittman could end up having a big game. And I want to see if he's taking that next step forward this year.
They are also playing a weaker Seahawks defense as well. the opportunities there.
Yep. Yep.
Someone actually kind of a maybe more of a sleeper, but someone to keep an eye on, the Vikings just recently traded for Chris Herndon following the Irv Smith injury. He's someone to keep an eye on as a big body red zone target because that's what Irv Smith was supposed to be before he got hurt. And the Vikings are kind of looking for that third guy for receivers after obviously Jefferson and Thielen. So I'm interested to see what kind of snap count he gets because there is also Tyler Conklin as well. But just another battle to watch out for.
Yeah. Yeah. Herndon could be, you know, somebody to, you know, that you could see Tyler Conklin get the most snaps week one just because of, you know, Herndon's just now coming in from the Jets. But Herndon's season outlook is probably more exciting than Conklin's just because he's a more physical, athletic, pass-catching tight end. And we've all been waiting for him to just blow up for the past three seasons. Yep. And I think this is by far his best opportunity.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. He's burned a bunch of people the last three seasons, so hopefully he can finally break out.
Yep.
Speaking of him, Tyler Kroft is now his job in New York, and he looked good in preseason.
Yeah.
Especially in red zone, so.
Yeah, he's a guy that I've been getting off waiver wires in dynasty leagues. Yep. And there's a couple of them where I'm actually starting him this weekend.
Oh, yeah. He's a good streamer, for sure.
Yeah, he's going to have the opportunity, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
The offense as a whole is just going to be interesting to watch. See how well Zach Wilson and Elijah Moore mesh with the rest of the team.
Yeah, that's definitely going to be the game that I will be watching alongside the Eagles game, mm-hmm. is Carolina and the Jets. That's going to be – you've got a lot of interesting, which is weird to say. You're talking about the Panthers and the Jets. When was the last time both of those teams were interesting anytime recently? But you're talking Sam Darnold, once he Terrace Marshall – what DJ Moore does, if CMC's healthy, and that's just on the Panthers side. And then for the Jets, you know, Zach Wilson, the number two, or, you know, you're 102 or 103 in your rookie drafts this past offseason. What he's going to look like in that offense. Then you got Elijah Moore,
Corey Davis,
good young wide receiver. It's just, that's going to be an interesting game, especially for Dynasty. You've got so many young, talented players to watch.
Mm-hmm.
Watch for a Robbie Anderson revenge game.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep.
Running back situation. I want to see how it shakes out. Week one is the Dolphins with Myles Gaskin and Malcolm Brown. I want to see if Gaskin stays in on the passing downs, because there was talk about they like Malcolm Brown better as a, you know, in pass pro and things like that, which could potentially limit Gaskin's usage. But also you've got Gaskin, just, he looked really good last year. So I just want to see how that happens or how that whole situation works out.
I think I saw somewhere that whenever he was healthy, he was top 10, 12 back, something like that.
Yeah.
Played, so.
Talent's there, no question.
Yeah, that's his big thing. He's got to stay healthy.
Absolutely.
Two other backfields to keep an eye on as well, the Cardinals and the Raiders. Because coming to the offseason, we all kind of figured that Chase Edmonds and Josh Jacobs, respectively, were going to take over and lead those backfields. But then we saw James Conner sign in Arizona, and we saw Kenyon Drake sign a surprisingly lucrative contract in Vegas. So I want to see what the snap count is for those respective running backs, because – Josh Jacobs has been kind of slipping down boards, more of a lower RB2, and kind of same thing for Chase Edmonds. So I want to see who gets the goal line carries, who's more of the pass catching back. Kind of hope week one gives us a more of a better reading.
Mm-hmm. Are y'all buying Josh Jacobs at his price right now?
He's honestly a good buy, though. I would say yes.
Yeah. I would. I mean, the Raiders last year, didn't they give like $5 million to John Brown and he wasn't anything? So we'll see. I mean, out of the two, I think Josh Jacobs is more talented back. So,
yeah, I definitely think he's somebody I have. I last year I was kind of avoiding him just because he's not really a pass catching running back. As far as, you know, how you would typically want him involved in the passing game. But this year I'm finding myself having a lot more shares of him than I would have expected coming into this year. And I'm honestly not too mad about it. I think that he's going to be a solid running back too this season. And he could even potentially push for a running back one, depending on Drake, how much they use him, or if Drake can even stay healthy. But I want to take a look at this trade browser real quick and see what Josh Jacobs has been going for recently.
Something to remember also is that the Raiders didn't exactly help their offensive line this offseason because they only brought back Incognito and they traded Trent Brown back to New England.
Yeah, I think their offensive line has kind of gotten worse. Here's an interesting one. Would you rather have a 22 first or Josh Jacobs? Consider think of the first as a mid first rounder.
Probably Jacobs.
Because a mid first is probably going to take you out of the top running backs.
Yeah.
In that rookie draft. So I'd much rather have Jacobs.
I agree. Yeah, I'd much rather have Jacobs. What about Jacobs or Travis Etienne? For me, I want Jacobs.
Yeah, probably just because of Robinson.
As tantalizing as ETN is, but we haven't seen him, obviously, because he got hurt. But I don't know what he's going to do in the NFL. So stick with the proven talent in this one.
Yep, I think so. All right. Let's go on to some buy lows for before the season starts. Who are y'all looking at to acquire before they blow up in any kind of way?
My first one, Justin Fields, man. He's the next big thing. He's going to explode whenever it's his time. So go out and get him now before Dalton sinks and they're forced to put Fields in. He's going to explode.
So. Yep.
Give me LaVisca Chenault. There's a bit of a crowded receiver room in Jacksonville because Marvin Jones has been practicing playing well, and obviously you have DJ Chark not going anywhere, but reports out of camp, Chenault's got the most rapport with Trevor Lawrence, and he's also only, I think, a second-year receiver, or third-year receiver. He's only going to be on the rise. He also can be used kind of out of the backfield as a wildcat guy who just ends around and sweeps and stuff like that. He's got speed. He's got agility. He's going to blow up. Get him while you can.
Yep. Visca's going to have a ton of touches this year. I can't wait to watch him. He's a guy that I've got plenty of shares of across all my leagues. Absolutely love him this year.
I think he's someone who can be like Curtis Samuel, but better.
Oh, yeah. More physical.
Oh, yeah.
Which, like, also, a lot more.
Boy, he can go up and get it.
Yeah, he's definitely a running back playing wide receiver is what he is.
That's a good way to put it.
Yeah. One of my guys, you can get him super cheap. If you're a contender, he's somebody that I'd be targeting. And even in a tight end premium, you're probably able to get him for a 2022 third, which is absolutely ridiculous right now. Zach Ertz. I know he's old. I know Dallas Goddard's there. But Jay, if you watch any of the preseason games, Jalen Hurts targeted the tight end like crazy. And if that's one good thing that Ertz does is just catch a bunch of balls. He has – I have him week one. I have him with over 10 targets against a bad Falcons defense. And he's a guy, if you're a contender this year, that would be, you know, absolutely amazing to add on your team as your – as a tight end upgrade or even as your third tight end or second tight end.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't disagree there. Actually, hopping on the tight end bandwagon for a minute, a guy I want to get that I have in a lot of my leagues is Robert Tonyan over in Green Bay, mm-hmm. who had a great year last year, double-digit touchdowns, but who people were kind of coming into the year just downgrading as someone who's very tight end dependent. But in camp, he and Rodgers have been connecting quite often. And in week one, he has a very juicy matchup in New Orleans, who were one of the weaker teams against tight ends last year. And I think Tonyan has potential to be, if at worst, like a low end tight end one, if not, you know, he could leap into like the top 6-7 conversation by the end of the year. Cause you obviously you have your set big four, big five, but I think he could easily be in that next tier right after that.
And absolutely. He'll be the number two target on their team too. At worst, number three.
Yeah,
absolutely. It's you got Jones, you got Davante Adams, and then after that, I guess it's Robert Tonyan.
Yeah. My next one, Tony Pollard. Zeke he's getting older. They might want to start not give him as much workload, try to keep him healthy throughout the season. And they've already said that they want to get him more work, get Pollard more work. So he's been so efficient whenever Zeke has gone down, and even playing with Zeke. So if Zeke were to go down to injuries, he's going to be a top 10 back, I think.
Yeah.
If Zeke ends up, you know, having to kind of – if he suffers injuries or he has to retire or something, Tony Pollard will go right up the board. And with a healthy Dak and a healthy Cowboys offensive line, which is top five in the game when healthy, you know, RB1 numbers. Because when Pollard got his chance last year, I think it was – I don't remember if it was one or two games. He produced. He put up big numbers.
Oh, yeah.
Granted, small sample size, but I think that's something that could be replicated on a larger scale.
Yep. And people forget, I mean, Zeke's 26, but he is an old 26 for a running back.
He's had a lot of carries.
A lot of carries early in his career in Dallas and a lot in college. So it's not – I see a lot of people be like, oh, last year was a fluke and – you know, he's just going to get back healthy and those kind of arguments. And to me, it's like, it's concerning because of the tread he has left on his tires, which, I mean, they're pretty much bald at this point. So
he is reaching that age where running backs, it's not necessarily surprising to see them tail off a little bit. Mm-hmm. You saw it with Todd Gurley. I mean, he was on top of the world. And then he suffered. He kind of had his ankle issues, and he fell off the map. Same thing with Devontae Freeman. He was being very productive in Atlanta, and he sort of fell off the map. I don't even think he's on a team right now. But those are just two examples, and that's something we could end up seeing with Zeke. I hope not, because he's such a fun talent to watch on the field. But
yeah.
How old was Mark?
The shelf life of running backs is not long.
How old was Marshawn Lynch whenever he went? He might be another one that –
So, I think Marshawn, he played until he was
in his 30s.
Yeah.
That's right. He had that year, and I think he was in Oakland only a couple years ago.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, 2018 last season.
Yeah. Yeah, he played last year. Oakland was, or the Raiders were in Oakland.
Yeah.
Yeah, he had a game. Battle in 19, but he wasn't like a productive fantasy running back for a while. No.
Yeah. Speaking of running backs, somebody that I'd be looking to buy right now is Buffalo's running back, Devin Singletary. I've been a Zach Moss guy for a while. I thought he was really good coming out. I thought he would take over Singletary's role as the running back one. Zach Moss just can't stay healthy. There was a problem in college too. He would have went higher in the draft if he could have stayed healthy. But Singletary just looked like by far the best running back in that backfield during the preseason. And of course, Josh Allen is the Bills running back one.
Yeah.
You know, he's going to vulture a bunch of touchdowns, and that's just something you got to live with. But right now you can get Devin Singletary as your third, fourth running back in drafts, or even trade for him for a 22nd at the highest, which I don't even know. 22 is such a weak class. A back end second is pretty much a third round pick. Mm-hmm. Getting close to a fourth if you compare it to the 21 class. But I'd much rather have Singletary than a later 2022 second. I think he just offers some upside that, you know, he could potentially win you your league in the later part of the year and give you great running back depth.
Sure. Someone I have to keep an eye on too, Trey Sermon over in San Francisco. That's obviously right now Raheem Mostert's backfield, but we all know that in the Niners, Shanahan always finds a way to get productivity out of all of his running backs. Because we saw obviously Mostert succeed. We saw Jeff Wilson play extremely well in his opportunities. So it's a backfield that's big enough to hold two running backs to be at least flex plays, if not low RB2s. So Sermon's kind of someone to snap up now if you can. Because you still have some people out there who kind of just see it as Mostert's backfield and are kind of pushing Trey Sermon off to the side a little bit because he was only a third round pick, but I think he's someone to snag.
Yep. I like Trey Sermon coming out of college. I wish I would have saw more of him. He's definitely talented. Like I said, I wanted to see more coming out of college, and hopefully we get to see it this year in the NFL. So I do like that. He had a lot of hype this offseason. He was beginning to go in, you know, the back end of the first round in rookie drafts, which to me that was way too high of a pick. I would have rather had someone like Devonta Smith. I saw him picked over, which blew my mind. I was like, because Smith was my number one wide receiver this year coming in. And Sermon, I think I had him as my running back 9, which was probably, I mean, it was really low for a lot of people, but I just wanted to see more from him. So I'm excited to see if he can get on the field week one. Mm-hmm. Also somebody to think about, you know, just shooting offers out there for would be Sony Michel. Traded to the Rams. He's the backup for Daryl Henderson in a much better offense with a better quarterback that he's had, especially last year with Cam Newton. He's definitely in line for more work. He's somebody I'd throw a third, maybe a high upside, you know, a wide receiver, maybe an older wide receiver out there. For him to see if you can acquire him and see what kind of workload he gets week one.
My thing with him is the Rams just continue to show that they're not all in on him. I mean, they drafted him, then last year they drafted Cam Akers. Cam Akers took over. This year Cam Akers gets hurt. It's supposed to be Henderson's backfield. They go out and sign Sony Michel. So I'm big on Sony Michel this year. Rams just don't like Henderson for some reason. So
yeah, it must be something they see that they don't like, which is surprising. But yeah. Someone I have my eye on as a buy low, Michael Thomas. because we know that he's going to be out the first 6-7 weeks because the Saints have a bye when he comes back. He has the potential to just come back and almost right away put up wide receiver one numbers because he was Bree's favorite target, as we all know. And with Jameis swinging the ball, much bigger fantasy upside as opposed to Taysom Hill.
Yeah.
So just for even for Dynasty, if you saw like someone maybe a late first or a second rounder, you may be able to get him on the cheap if someone's looking to get rid of him because of the injury. Because I think he can kind of jump right in and just put back up some of the same numbers he was putting up when he was healthy.
Hopefully he just doesn't miss the chemistry with Jameis that he had with Breeze. So.
Yeah. Yeah. But
I think there shouldn't be too much of a difference, but that's just my opinion.
Yeah.
I think he can be close to what he was.
Yeah. He might not get as many targets with Jameis, but he's going to get more down the field work. Probably more touchdowns. You know, a higher touchdown rate with Jameis just because Jameis just slings it out there. I mean, you saw it with Marquez Callaway. I mean,
yeah, I was about to say someone else to keep an eye on.
Yeah. Emergence.
So, I mean, it's a lot better to have Winston than Hill back there at quarterback.
Wait.
I don't know why people thought that he would have been a better option over Jameis, but. It was clear and obvious. If you ever watched Taysom Hill, he's not a good quarterback at all.
No. Oh, I think it was more the
– Hill is fantasy murder.
I think it was more the rushing that Hill provided that got everybody excited.
Like, yeah.
Not a good thrower at all. So,
yeah.
That's why it's such a boost for Kamara with Jameis behind center because Taysom Hill did not pass to his – to his running backs when he was behind center last year when Breeze was out. We saw his value drop a little bit in those few games. So seeing Jameis behind center is just a boost to any weapon in New Orleans, period.
Yeah.
My next guy, Cortland Sutton. He was a beast in the second year. He definitely took us the next step in that sophomore year. Everybody's picking it as Jerry Jeudy is the number one, and that may be true, but Bridgewater was able to support three top 36 wide receivers last year with Samuel, DJ Moore, and Robbie Anderson. So he may not be the best quarterback, but he can definitely provide statistics for his weapons. So
yeah, he's somebody you can get cheap too because after that his big breakout year, I mean, you struggled to get him for a first round pick. You know, you had to add another young wide receiver to it. But right now, you could probably get him for somewhere around that second round pick, mid to high second round pick, and maybe a small like running back three or something like that. He's not as expensive as he once was. And while I think Bridgewater helps Jeudy more, just because he's more of a, like a check down guy, Judy's always open, always best. I mean, in my opinion, best route runner in the NFL.
Oh yeah.
Besides Keenan Allen, but yeah, he's definitely a guy to keep an eye on to, you know, possibly get before week one, and you see how just everybody's reminded just how good he is.
Do be wary of the Broncos' early season schedule. Because in the first, I think, 5 or 6 weeks, they play a decent to good Giants defense. They play Baltimore, who has a good secondary. They go to Pittsburgh as well to play the Steelers. So just an eye on how well Teddy can perform against a good defense.
Yeah.
To see for a barometer for the other weapons as well in Denver.
Yeah. I'm looking on the Yahoo Sports trade market. I'm seeing, Cortland Sutton for Mecole Hardman. Who would you rather have there?
Sutton.
Cortland Sutton or Darnell Mooney?
Ooh.
That one's tough. That one's just about even right there.
It might be even, but.
I'd take Mooney. I would go Mooney.
Yeah, I think Mooney. Well, if. Robinson leaves this year, I take Mooney. If like that's a then I think it has a very good chance of happening. Especially once Justin Fields gets in, Mooney could be really good.
Yeah.
Bears might not be inclined to tag Robinson a second time.
Yeah.
And then one more, Cortland Sutton or Alexander Madison?
Sutton.
Sutton. Yep.
Yeah.
So, getting fairly cheap.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's definitely a good guy to target right now. But that being said, I think we're about wrapped up here, unless y'all got anybody else y'all want to add, throw out there.
No, I mean, we seem to cover a lot of them, so.
Yeah, all we did.
Right, well, it's a good first show. That was fun. It was an experience. Yeah. This is only going to get better. I know Dylan's going to be on with me every week.
Yep.
Charlie, I think he's in and out every once in a while.
Up down as often as I can.
Yep. So if y'all just want to or let everybody know where they can find some of your content, stuff like that.
You can get me. I'm on the Fantasy Coaches website, but my Twitter handle, I post a lot of the articles I write on there at dmini9688.
So. Yep, you can find me on Twitter as well. I post a lot of content, shuckster7777. You can find a lot of what I share there as well. I'm also helping out at Sports Time HQ and Fantasy Six Packs. You can see a lot more great fantasy content there.
All right, awesome. And you can find me on Dynasty Nerds. I haven't been on that or haven't written an article for them in a while. I'm going to start kicking back up here and then on Fantasy Coaches. And that right there is my at on Twitter. If you're watching the live stream, go ahead and give me a follow. Other than that, great first show. We will see y'all next week at the same time. All right, see you guys.
Have a week. Good week, guys.
Yes, sir.
The bag is not far-fetched. We got a couple of clock hands. I've been feeling super duper. How the heck they know the future? Come with me, don't be a loser. Grass is green like Koopa Scoopers. Clueless analysts don't do the half of this. In fact, I'm backing this by asking if y'all remember that tough act into acting. Shh, like boom, running like Zoom. The highest and mightiest entered the room. High off the knowledge, I'm feeling the fumes. All players covered, it's nuts as legumes. Opponents are doomed, and these are the facts. I keep it 100 like I'm running track. I listen to up Jack, I'ma head back to the blowin' that, blowin' that, blowin' that, go.